Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Rollmeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited today to have as my featured guest, Dr. Keith Stafford. Dr. Stafford did his undergraduate work at Bob Jones University and went to Temple University in Philadelphia for medical school. After 14 years practicing in New Jersey, Dr. Stafford moved to South Carolina in 2003. He practiced with University Medical Associates in Greenville for 2 years before opening Cornerstone Family Medicine in 2005 in Greer, where he lives. Dr. Stafford and his wife Carol have 4 children. Dr. Keith Stafford, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
I'm good.
And Happy New Year to you, sir.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, one thing I didn't mention in the bio is that I actually go to church with Dr. Stafford, so I've known him for many, many years and looking forward to this conversation here. So just kind of catch the people listening to the program, Keith, up to speed here. What are you doing? Well, first of all, before we get into the what are you doing now to feed your family question, let's just kind of ask you to tell us a little bit more about your family and that right now.
I've married to my wife, who's trained as a school teacher, although does it only part-time now. And then we have 4 children, all of whom are adults and out of the home now. Our daughter recently got married, so that's put us into the true empty nest status of life. So we're just kind of enjoying being back to just a couple again.
I hear you. I'm sure that's an adjustment period of some degree and something I'll experience myself sooner rather than later. I've got a few more years left, but not too many more, I don't think. But
it'll go fast.
Yeah, I know. It goes in the blink of an eye. I'm trying to savor every moment while I got it, very much so. Well, tell us a little bit right now about what you're doing to feed your family and your vocational journey and how it brought you to where you are today.
Well, I am a family physician, something I've always wanted to do, even from when I was very young. I wanted to always be a doctor. I went through all the educational steps you have to do to get there, and currently own my own family medicine office practice, and so that's where I go to work every day.
I hear you. And you mentioned, I know you've had some stops and starts along the way in other states and things of that nature, so tell us a bit about what those steps were like to bring you to the Spartanburg area.
Well, I grew up in Pennsylvania and went to college at Bob Jones University and did my undergraduate work there, and then went back to Pennsylvania to go to medical school at Temple University in Philadelphia, and then did my residency in New Jersey, and so ended up starting a practice in New Jersey in Flemington, where I had did my training and practiced there for like 14 years, and then the economics in New Jersey got really tough, so decided to sell that practice, and we moved to South Carolina because we knew it from when I went to college, and also at the same time that I closed my practice up there, Bob Jones had an opening in their university physician group, so I came down here and did that for 2 years, and then missed running my own shop, so started my own practice in the Greer area here in South Carolina.
Gotcha. And as you were traveling along that career journey, What would you say would be your worst career failure, and what kind of lesson did you learn from that?
Well, fortunately, God's blessed me, and I can't say from a career failure that I started a practice twice from scratch, and both times have been very successful. So I don't know that I've had a major career failure per se. Never changed careers as I went along the line. Some of the challenges that have come up over the years, probably the most difficult one for physicians is being sued, and that happened to me twice while I was in New Jersey. And that was a very difficult time, and emotionally it's challenging, and financially it's challenging, and it also kind of changes your outlook, knowing that no matter how hard you try, no matter how the best you do, one of those patients that you're seeing each and every day and just going through doing the best you can may one day end up trying to sue you and all the unpleasantness that follows after that. So that kind of puts a real damper on one's mood in terms of practicing medicine in general.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about quitting over that?
Oh, yeah. I think every physician has those times when, especially if they're being sued of quitting. I've said this, if the third time ever happens, that will be the end of me for my career, because I'm not going to go through that process again.
So the third time's a charm is a true statement. Yep. There, huh?
Yep.
I hear you. Well, what would you say that you learned through that? What was it the Lord was trying to teach you through those kind of experiences?
Well, certainly, you learn to depend on him for things, because you can't really control which one of those interactions that you have, because generally speaking, it's not the ones you think you know went bad or you think are going to be a lawsuit. It's ones that take you totally by surprise. So since you can't predict what's going to happen and when it's going to occur, you just get to the point where you say, okay, I just do the best I can every day, and whatever the outcome of this is, that's what God intended for us. And it's what it was like any of us with any difficult experiences in life. When you don't like going through them, but once you come through on the other side, it's kind of how you gain wisdom and experience and empathy when others go through the same type of thing. And so it's probably part of our overall maturing process as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And as you were talking about that, it kind of made me remember what the Bible teaches us, the fact that we have an enemy out there who is always trying to oppose us when we're trying to do something for the Lord in any aspect of our life, including our careers. So, a lot of times people have a misconception that if they're involved in their career calling, doing what God called them vocationally to do, that it's going to be a bed of roses or a cakewalk or whatever euphemism you want to use. But, there are going to be days or weeks or sometimes months when things are just going to be not good, not happy. But that's, like you just said, Keith, a time when we can really learn to trust the Lord, not only in our vocation, but in areas outside of our vocation. So that's a good life lesson for us all to pursue.
I was going to say, one other thing about those lawsuits, both of them came very close to one another.
Oh.
They were probably somewhat instrumental in us leaving New Jersey, moving to South Carolina. New Jersey is a much more litigious state than South Carolina, and it contributed to the cost of running the business up there, because for a physician, the moment it doesn't even matter whether you win or lose. It's the moment you get sued, your malpractice premiums go through the roof, and so it contributed to the difficulty of making a living in New Jersey. So that's the other part of it, is it probably was part of what God used in order to move us out of New Jersey into a different place.
Okay, yeah, and that's a good point too. A lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, God will definitely use those circumstances to direct our steps, won't he? I mean, sometimes circumstances aren't the only thing that's going to direct us, but sometimes it is. So that's good. What would you say has been your biggest career success, and what made it so successful?
As I said earlier, I twice started a practice from scratch, which most people, you go out and talk to physicians graduating from medical school today, will say, you can't do that. But we've done it twice, with just starting with borrowing some money from the bank and hanging the shingle up and starting with nothing, and building it within a couple of years to a very successful, not only financially, but having the reputation in the community and being a place that lots of patients want to come for their medical care. And so that's like I said, we've done that twice in two different states, and it's worked out very well.
What would you say that you did? What were the best practices that you pursued in both instances that actually contributed to that success?
Really a good salesperson, so I can't say that we were able to sell things, but we just tried to provide service to patients in the way that we would want to be treated if we were going to a doctor, and try to be responsive to people's needs and available to them, and people responded to that and come and join the practice, and it keeps growing. We see lots of new patients every single day, and so it's continuing to grow.
I tell you what, you say that you're not a good salesperson, but you might accidentally be a good salesperson, whether you know it or not. The reason I say that is this. Being in sales, formerly what people would call sales, since I've gotten out of college, so I've been doing it for 22 years now in various settings. The biggest factor one of the biggest factors, in some studies it is the biggest factor, of why people decide to buy a product or service is because they trust the salesperson. And I think you said during your conversation there that you were just trying to treat people the way you'd want to be treated and build trust. And by doing that, you created that word of mouth advertising that sold you. Your clients, or I guess your patients is the way you call it in your industry, sold it for you. That's good stuff. And that's a wrap on the first segment of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break for segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Rohweiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Let's get back to our interview with Dr. Keith Stafford. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, when did he and how did he clear the smoke for you?
Well, I guess the biggest career confusion initially was what field to go into. You graduate from medical school, there's lots of directions you can go in. And I was probably most torn between doing family medicine and emergency medicine. And I had worked during high school and college. I worked in the emergency room a lot, so I had a fair amount of experience with that. And that was appealing to me, but I also liked the continuity factor that one has in family medicine. So I ended up deciding to go on to do my residency in family medicine, but still had that itch to work in the more intensive medicine that you get in the emergency room. And so even after starting my own practice, I continued to wonder if I wouldn't really rather do emergency medicine. And so what I ended up doing for close to a year, I guess it was, I hired another family physician to work my office majority of the time. I still did a little bit of time in it, but then I went and worked in the emergency room full time. And so I got a chance to do that, see what that would be like full time, as well as the family medicine. And through that, I just decided that family medicine was more the field that I was cut out to be and would be able to do from a long-term standpoint more than emergency medicine. And I continued to moonlight up in the emergency rooms, actually even up until just a couple of years ago. I still did a fair amount of time working in the emergency room on a very part-time basis, but my full-time time went to the family medicine area.
You know, there is a great career lesson in that. You know, a lot of people do struggle with which direction they think that they're supposed to go in. They don't know which way the Lord's leading them. There's two equally opportunistic paths. And what you just described to me, Keith, was that you just basically dipped your toe in both to see which one the Lord gave you a firmer foundation in or a better direction in. And I think that's something any of us can do. I've actually recommended to some folks in the past that, you know, if you're not sure if you're supposed to be taking a step in that direction or that direction, then go, you know, first of all, meet with somebody who's already in that field and ask them what it's like to work there. Ask also if you could, you know, intern or have a trial period to kind of dip your toe in that world and see if it's something that the Lord is convicting you that you ought to continue with, or he shows you to go in some different direction. So good life lesson there on clearing the smoke when it comes to making a decision for Christ when it comes to your career.
Well, then I guess the other thing was the move to South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And that was kind of an issue of open doors. I mean, I pretty much came to the conclusion that it just wasn't doable to stay practicing in New Jersey. It was the way the trends were going. So, you know, what to do from there. Our family, my wife's family are both from that area. Our kids were teenagers at the time, so they certainly were not interested in making any major moves, certainly not as far away as South Carolina. But it was just amazing how almost as soon as I made the final decision to, yes, we are going to sell and did all the paperwork for do that, that I got a call totally unsolicited from Bob Jones saying they had this job opportunity. And I had actually been thinking about it, praying about it, but I had never done anything to actually approach them. And so clearly God had the timing for them looking for that at that point in time. And so, I mean, it was a challenge to move down here because I was going from a practice that was well-established. I was well-known in the community. I built the practice up, and I was going to a place where I knew no one. Nobody knew who I was, which in the medical world where you do so much referrals and connections with services and stuff, it's really hard to go to a place that you're not known at all, and you don't know anybody or anything. So even though I only stayed there 2 years, it was a good path to get me familiar with the local medical community and to begin to introduce me to people around and services available. And so it was really just a matter of that, making that decision was of open doors, and the kids who were really unhappy about me making that move, ultimately, as they grew up and got used to the area south, they all ended up staying here. They were going to go back to New Jersey and Pennsylvania, but none of them have left even the local area. So it's ultimately worked out, but it was, at the time, it was kind of challenging.
They didn't want to go back to the cold weather. That's what it was.
Right. That could be it.
Well, you know, that's just to make sure I got the timing right. You said that you had actually made the decision to sell, and it actually had signed the paperwork to sell, and it was just after that that you got the call from Bob Jones. Is that the timing?
Right.
Did I get that
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. You know, that just reminds me.
Yeah, and there was a lag time between when I signed the paperwork and I was actually leaving the practice. There was several months in there, so it was not like I had to know what I was going in that instant. But yeah, it happened right after we signed the paperwork.
Okay. Well, I tell you, you know, there's two contrasting examples in the Bible that I often bring to people's attention. One is the Red Sea example, where God, you know, parted the Red Sea, and then the nation of Israel crossed over. Then there was the crossing over the Jordan time, when the God commanded the Israelites to first put their feet in the water, and then he parted the Jordan River to cross over to Jericho. And sometimes, you know, honestly, the scarier of the two is the crossing over the Jordan, where you got to take that leap of faith first, and then the Lord right. opens the waters for you, which it sounds like what you did there. It sounds like what you did, because you had decided to cross the waters, and then he opened the door for you.
Yes, he did.
Pretty gutsy. And I appreciate your willingness to do that. That's a tough choice. Well, how about this question? Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about it and how you reacted to it.
I guess I mentioned to you before, this is a long time ago, that really struck me as being one of those things when I was really young and a lot more shy than I am now and stuff like that. But when I was first started into working around medicine, I very much wanted to be a doctor, and I'd just taken this volunteer orderly type position in a small community hospital in the area where I lived in Pennsylvania, and I was working in the emergency room. And shortly after I had started working there, I was just been there a couple of weeks, the charge nurse for the emergency room, it was a very small emergency room, but the charge nurse for the emergency room came up to me, and I was at that point in time, I was either 16 or 17, so I was pretty young. He came up to me and said, I need you to go down and to the 7-Eleven down the road, just like a block or two, and pick me up a pack of cigarettes, which at that point in time we could do. I don't think you could do it anymore, but then you could. And I sat there and I was thinking, I stood there and I'm like, and God gave me the strength, said, no, I really can't do that. And his response was, well, if you don't go down and get them, you're out of here and you'll never come back again, which to me was a big deal, because I was like, finally had gotten into a place that I really wanted to. I was going to help me with my career decision and progress and whatever. And so that was a pretty hard thing for him to say to me, but God helped me to stake my stand and said, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to go out and buy cigarettes for you. And so I finished the shift, and sure enough, when I was done, he said, okay, well, don't come back here again. You're through. We don't want you around here anymore. And I wasn't employed, so I wasn't like I could go to the human resources department and say anything. So
right.
I left, and that was, I thought that was the end of it. And it was a little time went by, probably a few weeks, and then one day out of the blue, I got a phone call at home from one of the doctors from that emergency room. I hadn't been there that long, but apparently had taken note of me, and he asked, why aren't you coming anymore? And I kind of told him what had happened, and he said, oh, don't worry about that guy. In fact, I think he told me, he said, that guy had just been fired. But
too many cigarettes.
Yeah, probably. And he says, I got something better for you. And he says, he just worked part-time at the emergency room where I had done the volunteer work at. He says, here, I want you to call this person over at a different, larger hospital, and tell him I told you to call him, which I did, and ultimately ended up getting a paying job as an orderly in that emergency room in the larger hospital. So got really honored that decision, and but it's been a lot of years ago. It's something that I never forget. Can't always say that you're going to have good outcomes by doing what's right, but it was an example of a time when I did, and it did end up turning out that things were better for me as a result of it.
Absolutely. And like you said, we can't always count on that, but one thing we can count on is no matter what shape, form, or fashion it comes in, God will honor those who honor him. And you can take that to the bank because that's right out of the Bible. So amen to that. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful in their business?
I'd say be very careful with debt. I won't take a Dave Ramsey approach and say no debt, but I think that you have to be extremely cautious with it. Not every business is a success, and the last thing you want to do is get yourself into, you and your family, into severe trouble financially in the yearning to start a new business. So you got to be very careful with it. Two, you got to find a niche. What can you do, or what can you offer that is either not being offered out there, or is under offered, or can you do it differently than somebody else, so that there is a place for you to grow your business. And I guess three, I would say, be careful not to sacrifice your family in the desire to build a business, which is, anybody who's self-employed knows that the business can be all-consuming very easily. And to a certain degree, it has to be in order to be able to get it off the ground and get it going. But you have to remember that life is not all about just a business and making money. You have your family, you have your spiritual life, you have your church, and all those things need to have some of your attention too. So you've got to be very careful about how you balance all the needs in your life.
Yeah, that'll definitely preach. If you could recommend just one book, other than the Bible, because we know at Career Callings that the Bible is in first place as in terms of which books to read and to study. But if you could recommend just one book outside the Bible, what would it be and why?
Well, this book wasn't around when I started my business, but one of the books that I read relatively recently that I thought was really good, especially for somebody who's just starting a business out, would be Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership. I think that's a very helpful, very practical, down-to-earth instruction on a lot of different aspects of business.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I know I have been blessed by this conversation, and I'm sure that my listeners have been as well. So, Keith, if someone wants to reach out to you and maybe ask you a follow-up question about something that you've said during our interview, how could they reach out to you and connect with you?
Well, my personal email is wkstafford@me.com, and then our office practice website is www.cfm, like Cornerstone Family Medicine, cfmofgreer.com.
That's fantastic. Well, Keith Stafford, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings, and have a blessed day, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And if you were blessed by my conversation with Dr. Keith Stafford, as I was, please go to careercallings.net/radio and get your copy of today's broadcast. Our podcast version of today's broadcast has the full interview with Dr. Stafford, so a lot of additional information that we did not have time to discuss on air is in that podcast. Come on over to careercallings.net/radio, and remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
What is your biggest weakness in the workplace? What do you think that is?
Weakness in the workplace, probably trying too hard to please people. There are limits to what you can do for anybody. You can't just do everything that somebody wants you to do, and so it's hard to find that line, whether you're talking about whether you're dealing with employees or you're talking about patients, when you have to say no to somebody and you can't just give whatever people want. But that's probably the hardest one. My wife would say it's working too many hours and
trying
to do too many things to too many people, but that's probably the two biggest weaknesses.
Gotcha. What about the other side of that coin? What would you say is your biggest strength?
I think I'm not a real good social person, like at a party type of thing, but if I can get one-on-one with somebody, then I usually do a pretty good job of connecting with them and listening to them and getting them to feel that I truly am understanding them and listening to what they're having to say. Sometimes that's very difficult to do in the short period of time that physicians have in a room with a patient, but if you're able to do it, it goes a long ways towards that patient coming back for another visit.
Yeah, and it goes a long way to building that trust factor we talked about a minute ago. I think if I could draw a lesson from that, from your experience there, is for anybody listening right now, to build trust with your network, whether it's people in any setting, whether it's a typical traditional networking setting, or if you're doing, sales or whatever else, working with clients or whatever else, is just being a good listener and truly, truly trying to understand where the other people are coming from. And I'm sure that's a huge part of your success, Keith, because I can tell you for a fact, I've got a family member who had a family physician down in Georgia many years ago. And that guy, no names, of course, but that guy would come in and he literally would spend about 45 seconds to a minute with you and he'd be out of there. He would make no real effort to listen to what they needed, what people had to say to properly diagnose them. And that may be a little bit of an exaggeration. I'm sure in some cases he probably did spend more than 45 seconds to a minute, but that's what my family member always complained about. So they eventually did leave him to go to someone else that they had a much better relationship with and can trust better. So that's something we all need to work on. If you're not naturally good at dealing with people, learn the skills of listening in there. And it really boils down to treating others as you would want to be treated. And if you want to be listened to, be sure to make an effort to listen to others. How are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
One of the things about it is that people know, well, first of all, I guess I would say that just the way we approach people, I do it in a way that I think that God would want us as believers to conduct ourselves, and whether it be honesty or it be gentleness or, just basic characteristics. But then a lot of people come to us because they know we're believers, and so they seek out a physician that's going to understand them and where they're coming from, which is different than where a lot of the secular physicians would be understanding. We take a pro-life position, so we don't recommend abortions and things like that to people. We certainly talk very freely about church and where people go to church and kind of what they think and they believe. I don't know that I make any significant evangelistic efforts unless somebody brings it up specifically themselves, but we certainly don't hide the fact that we're believers, and that affects how we conduct ourselves.
That's great. You're the second doctor I've had on, actually the third doctor I've had on the program. One of the other doctors I had on the program earlier in 2016 was a gentleman named Dr. Richard Furman, now a retired vascular surgeon. And he had mentioned that when he was still practicing, he had a practice of asking his cancer patients, and I don't know if you ever have those, but he had cancer patients in his business, and he just always asked them, would you guys like to talk about eternity? And he said, out of all the cancer patients I ever asked that question of, none of them turned me down. And at that point, he would close the door, and he would say, now, I want you to imagine that you just died. Then he'd kind of chuckle and say, no, I'm not saying you're about to. I'm just saying, just imagine you just died. And that door right there is the doorway to heaven. And you open up the door, and they ask you, why should we let you in? Could you give them an answer? And then they would give him, you know, give him all kinds of answers. But he said maybe 80% of the time it was, I hope I did more good than bad. And then he would walk over to his desk. He always had a Bible in one of his exam rooms. He'd pull out a Bible. He'd pull out a prescription pad, and he would write down a verse. And I believe it was John 14:3, but I'd have to go back and check my notes. But basically, it's the verse that says, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And basically, he would write that verse on a prescription, hand that to the patient, say, this is your prescription to get you into heaven. You have to believe this and do this. And that's always stuck with me. And just as we're talking about what you do in your business, it just kind of prompted that for memory. I hope you don't mind me sharing that with you, because I thought that was a unique.
Great idea.
Yeah, great idea. So has there been a time in your life when God directed you down a career path that maybe you didn't want to go down, or maybe didn't make sense to you? And if so, what tell us a little bit about that and what kind of lessons you learned from that.
Well, when I always wanted, like I said, for basically my whole life, I had always wanted to be a doctor. It's the career path I wanted to do. And of course, time came to finish high school and go on to college. And, I felt that God wanted me to go to Bob Jones University. And at that time in particular, and I was told that nobody went to Bob Jones has gotten to medical school. So it was just stupid to go to Bob Jones. But I really felt that the Lord wanted me to do that. And so, I did, and I just felt that if God wanted me in medical school, that He was gonna get me no matter where I went to college if I did what He wanted me to do. So, went to Bob Jones, went through there, did well, but not outstanding. And when I applied to medical school, I didn't get in. And so it's like, well, I guess people are right. You can't get into medical school from here. So I ended up teaching science in a Christian school for a year, which was a very difficult year. It wasn't what I wanted to do, and I was never trained as a teacher, and it was a very challenging year for me. But I reapplied for medical school, and anyway, despite not getting in the first time, I said I would retry, and then I decided that if I didn't get in the second time I applied, I was just going to have to bite the bullet and go to graduate school doing a different career path. And so I applied, and I started getting the rejection letters coming back. And so I ended up applying for a graduate degree, a master's degree, and got accepted into the program. And I had, during this process, I had gotten an interview, I think, at two medical schools. I applied for 10 plus medical schools, and I'd gotten an interview at two of them. Never heard anything back from either one of them. And the day I was supposed to put my money down in order to be able to get to go to the graduate program and the master's degree program, I got a phone call from Temple University saying, somebody dropped out. We've got an opening. Do you want it? And, so of course I said yes. And
of course.
So that was another time that it came right down to the wire as to what direction I was going to go in, and God opened the doors up to become a physician.
Well, that's great. That's great. Just another example of the Lord just directing your steps at the right time and His timing. I wonder what He was trying to teach you through all that. Do you have an idea of what exactly the lesson was He wanted you to learn from all that waiting?
Well, it's a lesson I guess I have to keep learning over and over again, but it probably is trust. I mean, you just have to trust that He's going to open the door. You just got to do right, and He's going to open the doors that He has for you at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kind of, for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, that story reminds me of, you know, Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac, but at the last minute, the Lord rescued Isaac from that and provided a lamb. And it just triggered that thought when you told that story. So that's pretty impressive. That's great. I'm just out of curiosity. I don't think I caught it if you did say it. What was the alternative graduate program? What was the other field you were thinking about?
It was a graduate program in microbiology at Hahnemann University.
Okay. Just curious. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Probably dependability. Just knowing that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it, and you follow through. Your employees know that you're going to follow through and stuff you tell them. The patients know that if you tell them you're going to do something for them, that you will. And I think that there's probably a variety of characteristics, but that's probably the biggest one.
Gotcha. What would you say is your number one business habit, if it's different from your personal habit, that you consistently adhere to that drives your success?
Never be satisfied. When you're in business, there's always something that you can do better, improve upon, provide a better service, faster, more efficient service. You can carry that to an extreme of never being satisfied, but you know, just always be looking for a way to improve how and what you do.
Very good. How about a productivity tool? Could you share a productivity tool, and it can be internet-based or it could be non-internet-based, that enables you to achieve maximum effectiveness in the workplace?
I think that, and again, there's all kinds of things you could say, but I think that, especially in today's world, computer skills is probably the biggest thing. It's kind of funny, when I always say that the most important course I took in high school was typing. When I graduated, even from medical school, I did not even own a computer. And who would have thought that at this point in my career, not only would I have now purchased and gone through scores of computers, but I mean, it's just something that I do every single day, is to work with and use computers. So, and that's virtually true in just about any field today, that you have to make use of the computers. So I think certainly maximizing one's ability to utilize as many computer tools as you can, I think, is very important and vital, and no matter what field you're going into today.
Absolutely. Well, knowing from personal experience that you have quite the assortment of technical gadgets, which one is your most favorite technical gadget that you use?
Well, like I said, I use numbers of them, but I mean, I probably just the basic laptop when I use a Mac laptop computer, and I find that to be very helpful, dependable, and it's probably my biggest go-to if I had to just pick one device out of the numbers that I have.
Yep. I used to be an iPad junkie. I still love iPads, but I used to try to operate my business off my iPad, and you could do quite a bit. But I finally went to one of those 2-in-1 tablet laptops,
right,
so that you can have the best of both worlds. And I've been very, very happy with that ever since. Now, Keith, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go into the real world?
Well, I've taught high school anatomy for a couple of years just recently, so not this year, but up until now. So I've talked a fair amount to some high school seniors there, and I think the biggest thing I would then have told them is that you have to learn a marketable skill. You can't think you're just going to finish high school and just start working somewhere at a minimum wage job or an entry level job, and that's kind of where you're going to be for life. You've got to learn a skill that somebody wants to pay you for. And I think the other thing piece of advice I might give them too is that I think a lot of high school kids fritter away their opportunities for learning as much as they possibly can when they have the opportunity. And their goal is just let them just graduate and get out the door and do the minimum I can do in order to till I graduate. And what they're doing is they're missing opportunities to learn. And you never know what God's going to use, what skill God's going to use in the future. And the classic example of my life is just like the typing. And I said, when I was in high school, well, nobody long-term needed any typing. It made me needed it to type some research papers in college. And other than that, once you got to college, you never use a typewriter again. Little did I have known that I'd be typing every single day of my life now. And you just don't know when you're going through your education what knowledge base, what skill levels is going to be useful to you. So take advantage of whatever's in front of you and don't just try to get away with whatever the minimum effort you have to do in order to get through the class or whatever's out there.
That's good advice. And that I'm with you on that typing thing, man. I took a typing class when I was in middle school, and I type so much every day. I can't imagine how much less productive I would be if I did not know how to type. If I was just doing hunt and peck, you know, it'd be twice as much time invested as it already is.